podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot route! Best seven! Hot route!
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now,
what time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
And welcome into the Hogan Johns podcast, episode 162. We are back in Bourbon A. Really haven't left.
No.
Well, maybe a little bit.
It's our second home at this time of year.
Yeah, that's right.
The Fairfield Inn.
We have relocated outside, though, this time. We got kicked out. We finally got kicked out of the Fairfield Inn.
No, we didn't.
We started treating it like the dorms, which we got kicked out of a few years ago. And now, no, We're just on the move today a little bit.
It's a beautiful day outside, Adam.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it. It's not rainy anymore.
The sun's shining. We are outside at ONU, and so you might hear some background, some golf carts going by. We're also testing out some new equipment here today. So, hopefully it sounds okay.
We'll survive.
We'll be all right. This is episode 162 of the Hogan Johns podcast. And you can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Please read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It's pretty much available everywhere where you listen to your podcast. So it's Friday. This might be a more abbreviated version of the podcast. We want to make sure we got you a little something before the weekend. But we do have some news for you. Podcast announcement. We've been working on this. We want to make sure we did another live episode for our listeners while we were down here in training camp. Worked on a couple different spots, a couple different ideas, and here is the deal. Next Saturday, August 4th, we are going to be live from one of the tents here in Bourbon A. In the training camp grounds, right by the practice fields. And so you can come by. We're going to record live towards the end of practice, probably about 10:30. So probably about 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. If you come out to practice that day, you can, as practice is wrapping up, stop by and come watch us do a podcast. It'll be our second live episode, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, come say hello. I can't keep getting these tweets of, hey, I saw Adam Johns at a restaurant. Come and say hello.
Yeah.
Shake your hand. Take a picture. We can talk a little bit Bears off to the side if you want, but come and have fun with us.
Yeah, no, it should be good. And, you know, it'll be fun to do one of these, you know, from actually inside a training camp.
Yes.
Immediately following a practice with kind of the atmosphere. Now, we do realize it's the same day as the Brian Urlacher induction. So a few of you might be headed to Canton. We're not going to be there for the induction.
Still have practice to cover.
Yeah, there's practices here. That's why we're going to be back here. So we're going to do more of these. So if you can't make it next Saturday, hopefully down the line this season, you can catch us. But this is a good opportunity to come out, see practice, and hang out with us for a little bit when it's over.
It'll be a lot of fun. We can even talk about Brian Urlacher. We could maybe.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of tweets with his comments and his speech and whatnot.
I'm also excited because it's the day after. It's not the day after the game, but it's the first day the Bears will be back down here after their first preseason.
Yes.
There'll be stuff to react to. It'll be sort of our normal post game episode, which we won't do that night. From Canton, we'll wrap it up a couple days later.
We'll have stuff to digest. I still remember a couple of years ago, I forget exactly which preseason game it was, but the Jamarcus Webb experiment finally ended during a preseason game. We came back to Bourbon A 2 days later. Jordan Mills was your new starting right tackle for your Chicago Bears. So stuff happens after preseason games. I know the Bears have an extra one to kind of get through, but I think these guys are getting sick of hitting each other. Adam, I think Matt Nagy kind of senses that too.
Yeah.
It's time to face different competition, although I don't expect to see much of the starters in Canton.
Yeah, we're also going to have an episode for you this coming Tuesday to kind of previewing the first game. What we wanted to do today is a few things. One, Mitch Trubisky talked today. Anthony Miller, the Bears' second-round pick, to me, has really stood out throughout camp. I had a chance to talk to him today for a couple minutes. So you'll hear from Anthony Miller. And just now we're seven practices into this thing already. A couple weeks ago, I wrote 10 questions for the Bears season. They're not all going to get answered in the first couple weeks of camp, obviously. But, addressing these questions that we're going to be following all season long, just kind of want to discuss if there's any progress being made in those areas.
What's your first question?
Well, the first one's Mitch, okay. Obviously. Just mm-hmm. How much is he going to improve from year one to year two? That answer is not going to come for a while. I mean, we're not even going to see that in the preseason.
You may not even see that in 2019 in terms of what type of quarterback he's going to be for the Bears long term.
But he better get better this year.
Yeah. In terms of camp, I mean, he's throwing a lot of interceptions, but I'm not alarmed by any means. Some of these have been tip passes that have gone off the hands of his receivers. Kevin White had one yesterday where it went off his hands. Kind of a high ball, but maybe a little bit better ball placement could happen, but I don't recall exactly what he was facing pressure-wise, Trubisky. So, yeah, you're going to have these hiccups. I can't stress enough how much they're kind of throwing at him. For the first time, he used a different Matt Nagy used a different description to describe what he's going through. He's no longer in a flight simulator. Now he's literally in a tornado.
Yeah.
And I like that. They're throwing a lot at him to figure out what works best for Mr. Trubisky and his offense with a lot of new weapons.
And they're letting him work with almost everybody.
Everybody. And that slowed up a bit. I feel like you don't see the Marlon Browns and the Tanner Gentry's getting the ones and two work as much as you did before.
But you're still seeing Benny Fowler, Josh Bellamy, which I know the fans don't like, but he's still working in there with the ones. I think as we go along, we'll start to see those roles, a little bit more concrete. But in the meantime, why not let Mitch work with as many guys as possible?
Yeah, I mean, you're still getting your significant work with Allen Robinson. I feel like he's been out there with the ones. Even the starters have been rotating with your other quarterbacks, Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray. Tariq Cohen caught a touchdown pass from Chase Daniel today. So, obviously, he's going up and down the offense, too, getting as many reps as they can. I thought to me, if I had to take one takeaway in terms of Mitch Trubisky in today's practice, the work he got in the red zone, the 10-yard line and the 3-yard line, he targeted Allen Robinson a lot. Obviously, he's going to be a big red zone target, Matt Nagy described later on after practice. Then Adam Shaheen, hey, light him out wide and be a mismatch problem. The Bears didn't do that at all last year. We saw that today here in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, we did a lot of red zone work today in practice.
Yes, yes.
Extensive amounts. So, and it was interesting to see some of the ways that they're using these weapons. That Cohen catch down the right sideline,
wide open.
I'm forgetting who he beat on that play.
Yeah, it was the second team defense. Yeah. I want to say 35 was out there. I forgive me, I don't have my roster right in front of me. So, yes, he's not beating Kyle Fuller, but he was still wide open. And then he gave fans a nice treat. He celebrated his touchdown by doing a backflip.
Right, which we cannot give you video of. However, I believe Patrick Finley did his daily illustration on the backflip.
He spent a lot of time on that,
by
the way.
Oh, I bet he did.
Too much time.
Yeah, he should have been watching practice.
A certain colleague would say yes, yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of Trubisky, spoke to the media today for the first time in over a week since the first day at camp, so now seven practices in. How is he doing? How is he adjusting? Let's hear what the quarterback had to say in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, I feel good. We got a lot in. We're going through the installs day by day, and we got a lot of the bulk of the offense in, and we still are just diving in even deeper every day. So I just the offense is picking up quickly, and we're getting a lot of good stuff on film, and we're just learning from our mistakes and continue to develop, and we're coming along real nice.
One thing that your head coach, Matt Nagy, has always said is like he's not worried about mistakes right now. How important is that for you and the freedom that you feel out there?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Just lets me go out and play, be myself, and not worry about mistakes. But we do go in the film room, correct them, and there is a big emphasis on not making the same mistake twice. So just go out there, play freely, and let your instincts take over. And then when we make mistakes, just go back and learn from it. And it just allows me to go out there and be myself and play freely.
Are you trying to develop?
How do you balance that with, you're allowed to make mistakes because it's early, but you're also frustrated when you throw a pick?
Yeah, just moving on to the next play. And then just I mean, we're always trying to take care of the football, so that's a big emphasis for this offense. 100% ball security, taking care of the football, and making good decisions. So, but we do like to, as Coach Nagy likes to say, test ourselves, see what throws we can make, test the defense, and challenge them every day like they're challenging us. So you just got to find that balance and move on to the next play when there is a mistake. So I've been doing that all day, and we continue to get better.
Mitchell, are you trying to develop individual chemistry with certain players at this point?
I'm trying to develop chemistry with all my teammates. I think that's a big emphasis for me, just being a leader and a leader of this offense, just make sure everybody's on the same page and develop a relationship with every single guy on this team. It's very, very important to me.
What has stood out to you so far about these wide receivers you're working with?
Yeah, they're hungry. They're students of the game. They run really good routes, and everybody wants to get better each every day. And just going off building relationships with these guys, everybody wants to be on the same page. So we're moving in the right direction. We're building solid relationships, and we're getting that chemistry and timing down, which is where I think we need to be, and all of these guys, they want to be great at it, so it's great working with them.
Seems like they've really been a touchdown to Trey Burton today. You guys were talking behind the play afterwards, that throw down there. I'm curious, what are you mindful of when you're interacting with your teammates one-on-one like that?
Just seeing what he saw, making sure the end result happened how we wanted it, but there's a bunch of variables that could go on that may have not have it end like that. So we're just making sure that he's seeing everything I'm seeing and vice versa, and just getting on the same page and talking about the play. So if something happened different next time, that we'll be able to adjust and make it happen again.
I'm kind of talking about like your mannerisms in interacting with guys, like the way you carry yourself in a conversation like that. Are there things you're being mindful of just in terms of how you communicate with your teammates like that?
Just being genuine, being real, being myself, and making sure my guys know I care. I mean, I'm just out there being myself, and I'm having serious conversations, just talking with my guys and making sure we're having fun, enjoying it the whole time. So I would just say being myself and making sure they know that everything I say and everything we do is for the greater good of this team, and I want them to have success. And I think that relationship goes both ways. So everything I say to my teammates, it's for their well-being and my well-being as well.
What's the process about this offense?
What do I like best about this offense? Still figuring it out. I mean, what's not liked about this offense, really? I love it. There's a lot of options, and we throw the ball around a lot, and we're going to have balance it with a great run game. But the thing I love most, I think, is just playing with these guys. The five linemen up front are working their tails off and mixing in, really. The group of seven who's been mixing in, and all the guys up front been busting their ass for me. And it's been a lot of fun playing with those guys and the new receivers, and everybody's just working hard, and I think the scheme is a lot of fun, but playing with the guys is the best part.
Coach Nagy talks about liking throwing the ball deep. What are your thoughts on doing that?
One more time.
He likes throwing the ball deep.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, stretch the field. I think it's a great idea. All quarterbacks want to throw the ball deep, and it's just about finding those completions and creating explosive plays for the offense. So you got to know when you can take shots and when you need to check it down. So we're just finding that balance. But it's been a lot of fun throwing the ball down the field.
You talk about having fun. It seems like there's a lot of personality on this team, in terms, especially with the receivers, Taylor Gabriel with a little touchdown dance today, Tariq Cohen with a backflip. Is that important to have? And have you felt that personality out there as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important on offense to have fun, and you need those players that bring that excitement, that swagger, that kind of give your offense an edge, and those types of players, they definitely do, and they excite the other guys, and they make us play harder as an offense, and I think it just raises the level of play all the way around, so it's great to have guys like that.
What's the process if you make a mistake in a practice? Who do you talk to first, between Nagy and Helfrich and Chase and Tyler? How's that work with those guys, trying to figure out what happened?
Well, usually in practice, it's just talk about it real quick and move on to the next play, and then we'll go in depth in the film room, and really whoever comes up to me first, sometimes it's Chase or Tyler, just like, hey, we all saw what you saw, just move on to the next play, or Nagy or Helfrich or Rigone. And the great thing is I'm getting a lot of teaching out here. There's a lot of guys who are helping me, and we're really all in this together. So whatever happens, we're all on the same page. We're all on the same team. We're realizing the mistake and then just moving forward with it. So I wouldn't say there's one set process, but I'm getting a lot of help out here, which is it's been incredible.
Is it ever frustrating if you do make a throw pick in practice in front of all the fans? You know the play. You know what happened. They don't know. I mean, what's kind of the mentality when that goes wrong?
Yeah, I'm always mad when I throw an interception, but at the same time, I don't care what anybody thinks. I know what I got to do. I made a lot of great throws. I made some bad throws, and we're testing, and we're getting better every day. So as long as Coach Nagy's okay with it, and he sees my growth and development and just getting better every day, and my teammates know that my mind and my spirit's in the right spot, then we'll be just fine. And those mistakes are going to come as long as we're learning from them. And it's not a game, so it doesn't really matter. And what everybody thinks and what everybody sees, hopefully they enjoy practice, but there's a lot going on that we just need to improve and get better at, and we're taking care of that.
Seems like speaking of games, not sure how much you're going to play in that first preseason game, but how much are you looking forward to that game back in your home state?
Yeah, I'm excited. The Hall of Fame game is a great opportunity for this team, and it's a unique place to play. So just going back to the Hall of Fame and have some family come into the game, it would be great to see some family, and it's an exciting time for this team. So just really, we need a great week of preparation, head up into that, continue to take care of our bodies and get ready to go. And it'll be nice to go against someone else besides our defense for once. Yeah.
Mitch, when you look at your role as a leader, what does that mean to you? How would you define your role as a leader for this team?
I think it's undefinable. I'm just being myself and I'm just leading the way I know how. So there's no set rules or what you have to do in order to be a leader, but my job is just to be myself, go out there and make sure my teammates are doing their job, make their job easier, and make sure they know I care about them and that we're everything we do is for the organization, for the Chicago Bears to win football games. So there's really no set rules, and you can't really define it in one way or another, but it's everyone knows what goes on in our locker room and how we handle things.
It seems like they've really been rotating a lot of the wide receivers in there for you, getting reps with everyone. How has that helped you so far?
Just building chemistry with all the receivers has been great. So the more reps we can get with all the guys, it's just going to create more opportunities for everyone and help our offense be more dynamic. So just trying to create chemistry with everybody.
What kind of value has Chase Daniels brought for you?
Tyler and Chase have brought tremendous value, just all their knowledge, not only in this offense, but their league experience, seeing all the defenses they've seen, the fronts, coverages, and just the little tips and reminders that they have out here all the time. So Chase has been very valuable for me, and he's helped me progress a lot quickly in this offense than I think I would have if he wasn't here. But I'm thankful that he's here, and all the coaches and Tyler and all the help that I've gotten, and everyone's on the same page, and we're moving in the same direction towards the same goal.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Of course he hates throwing interceptions. It's part of his makeup, and that's who he is. But I like how he's not alarmed by him. I know we're not alarmed by him. Matt Nagy's not alarmed by him. I think his interceptions, for some people, they're overshadowing some of the good things he is doing. He was really pinpoint on with a couple deep throws today.
Yeah.
He was pretty good in the red zone. He's efficient with the offense as well. He's getting everybody lined up. Matt Nagy later said after practice that he's putting the pieces of the puzzle together in terms of finding the right protection and finding the right routes to run within those protections if certain blitzes are coming. So things are coming together for him. And I want him to take risks. I want him to test out his arm. I want him to test out certain coverages. I want him to test out his receivers. He had a throw today, a laser. You don't see him wind up as much maybe as we should, but he put one right between Eddie Jackson and Bryce Callahan to hit Allen Robinson in the back of the end zone. I thought that was his most impressive pass of today. So yes, the interceptions, and people are going to hang on to these interceptions. People are going to store these interceptions. And they you could call them somewhat of a problem, but don't be alarmed. Mitch Trubisky's not alarmed.
Yeah, and I think the game plan, Nagy's actually been pretty clear about this, is to throw a lot at these guys early, let them try everything. See what works, see who it's working with.
Tornado.
See where the trust is being built, and then correct it in the film room. So I think this is all just part of that process that they're talking about.
I liked how they're still trying out new plays, too. Nagy kind of talked about that a bit today, that him and Helfrich are still taking concepts from his Oregon offense and the RPOs with Nagy's West Coast offense and blending it together and coming up with new plays still to this day, 7 days into camp. We know he has said that experiment is going to continue, but some of these hiccups you see, some of these miscommunications, some of these errant throws that you see from Trubisky, that's all part of it.
Yeah.
They're taking risks. They're testing the waters, as Nagy says all the times. They're trying new things. I think that's good. Last year, they did not try enough things here in Bourbonnais.
Well, one thing I'm really encouraged by is Anthony Miller's camp so far. You know, I say this every year. You can't necessarily tell everything about a rookie in the first few days, but I I think it matters. I think that there are definitely you can tell when a guy on the extreme end it either belongs right away. And then there's been some times, too, where you see a guy that's just like, ooh, I don't know if he's going to hold up at this level.
Yeah.
And then most of, you know, 90% of the players, though, fall in that middle where you just need more time to evaluate. I'm tempted here to put Miller towards that top end of guys where, man, he's coming out here and he doesn't look like a rookie. He looks like somebody who belongs in this offense, who's getting trust from Mitch Trubisky and making plays right away. It doesn't look like the, you know, going from Memphis to the NFL has affected him at all.
No, it's, I know you've talked about it, the eye test, and you always use the Shea McClellan example, where he just did not look like a defensive end whatsoever in, what was it, 2012?
Right away.
You just sort of knew, and they were adamant in trying that. He should have been a linebacker. He may have had a better career if you made that switch right away. Obviously, the Bears waited too long, waited for Vic Fangio to get here, who was a big fan of Shea McClellan's, by the way. But, yeah, you see Anthony Miller, and he's not a flash-in-the-pan rookie. I keep going back to Daniel Braverman and how good he was his first camp, making all these acrobatic catches. But he was doing that against threes and fours, guys who eventually weren't going to be on this roster. Anthony Miller, they're treating him like a second-round pick.
Yep.
A second-round pick they traded up for. He's playing with the ones. He's beating the ones on the opposite side of the field. And that's not only in team or 7-on-7. That's in one-on-one drills. I talked to Prince Mukamara, Eddie Jackson, and Kyle Fuller about him today. They're immensely impressed. I mean, Eddie Jackson's a guy, too. You saw it right away. Oh, he kind of belongs last year. And Anthony Miller, in terms of this draft class, I think there's other guys from this draft class who are starting to make a name for themselves. But he's been the guy, especially with Roquan Smith not here. Anthony Miller has become a headliner every single day here at camp. He burnt Kyle Fuller for a long touchdown today.
I was going to bring that up because Kyle's actually impressed me, too. I wasn't sure what to think about Kyle coming off this contract. That's another one of the big questions I have on this list for this season. But he's actually, to me, been very good so far. And Anthony Miller just went right by him today.
Oh, yeah.
It just left him in the dust. And you talk about some of the good throws that Mitch has made. That was a great throw to him. It was right up the seam, and it was a touchdown. And, I mean, to me, that was an example of what I'm talking about here. A guy who... Ooh, he belongs.
Yeah. It's the route running. It's the polish that comes with the route running. It's his hands. The hand, I'm not talking about his ability to catch the football. It's his ability to use his hands to create separation immediately at the line of scrimmage. Winning the hand fight with a defensive back who's trying to jam you off the line of scrimmage. He's been, I don't want to use the word exceptional because, look, he's still a rookie. You don't want to give him too much credit. I know the Bears still want him to work for certain things here at camp. I'm sure his blocking needs some work, and you'll see that come the preseason, but look, the kid's making plays every single day here. Since day one in the rain, he's been good.
Well, I had a chance to catch up with Anthony Miller after practice today. He's had a lot of media requests with how well he's played. So I had a couple minutes with Anthony Miller after practice. Here's what he had to say.
It seems like you've really been able to make an impression so far in camp. We knew kind of talking to you after the draft, you have swagger, you have confidence in yourself. How has this first week gone for you in terms of carrying that over onto the practice field with pads on?
My mentality has always been the same, whether it be in the film room or the practice field. I know what they expect me to do when I come out here, and that's make big plays. I'm not just some rookie coming out here, trying to make it. I'm trying to make plays. I'm trying to make a huge impact when I come out here.
What has stood out to you so far in what you've been able to build with Mitch?
For example, we were just out there, running routes, trying to make sure our timing was down. So just things like that, we're building right now. What you see is like a project right now. I don't think it's not finished yet. But I know come week one, it'll be pretty sweet.
There's always adjustments for any player coming from college, whether drafted first overall or wherever. What are you concentrating on the most right now?
What I'm concentrating on is just knowing my assignment each and every play, knowing where I need to line up, because that's the most important thing. If you don't know anything, you're not going to play, especially at this level. You got to be intelligent. So That's what I've been working on, just being prepared.
How does this offense compare in terms of, you know, it's a tough scheme in terms of everything you need to know, the plays and everything like that. Well, how does it compare to what you did at Memphis?
It compares a lot. You know, we run the same style offense, but it's different terminology. You know, the plays are way longer. Mitch is in there. He has a whole lot to remember when he's in there saying plays, and we just got to listen for one specific thing. So he has a lot on his plate as far as remembering plays. So I know I can remember one small bit of that play if he can remember all of that. So everyone knows they got to commit to, you know, just knowing their playbook and knowing what they need to do each and every play.
Last thing for you, trust is always huge with wide receivers and the quarterback.
Yeah.
I know we're only a week into this thing in camp, but how's that trust been as you try to build that with Mitch?
You know, it's been building. As long as I catch the ball each and every time he throws it, you know, he is going to build more and more. He's going to want me to do more. The coaches are going to want me to, you know, run more different routes. And that's what I've been seeing as camp's been going on. As I'm starting to make more and more plays, you know, they're starting to put me in different positions. And I've just been noticing that.
So you heard us discussing there a little bit about the trust that he's building up with Mitch Trubisky. Now, the thing about what we were discussing earlier about how many guys have been rotating in, and you heard Mitch talk about it earlier too, that means limited reps with some of the guys you might end up working with more when the season comes around. Again, I think that's going to change as we get closer. I think they'll kind of zero in on the guys who are going to be part of the offense for the most part. But it after practice today, and Anthony mentioned it there in that conversation, you know, they immediately went over to the side and started throwing more footballs and working on those routes. I think that those guys understand that, you know, they could be a pretty good combination together.
He fits that obsessed personality that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are looking for. Obviously, Mitch Trubisky hasn't. He's just relentlessly consuming football by any means necessary. And I think Anthony Miller is the same. That's all you heard about him coming out of Memphis, is this kid's work ethic. It was extremely impressive. And you're seeing that. This kid would not be doing what he's doing if he didn't have that type of work ethic. And talking to some of the defensive backs, too, they kind of enjoy how he barks at them. He's got that edge, that dog in him, as Prince Mukamara and Eddie Jackson told me, that fiery competitor that's inside Anthony Miller. It's going to bring him a long way. He's not settled just having fun in practice and making big plays against Kyle Fuller when there's not live contact. He wants to be a real impact player for this team.
Well, I think you could probably hear in that interview the professionalism that he's already carrying with him.
True pro.
He just doesn't seem like a rookie. I think I've said that a couple times now. And again, we're only seven practices into this thing, but just the way he's carrying himself, you know, this offense is actually very similar to what he ran in Memphis.
Yeah.
And so he's getting used to the terminology being much different, but he just looks comfortable.
Yeah, he has personality. I did a TV appearance with him the other day on NBC Sports Talk Live, and he's got some charisma to him,
the
natural charisma to him. Things come easy to him in terms of showing his personality. He's not a shy kid by any means, but he doesn't come off as arrogant or anything like that either. Very confident about himself, knows how to joke around, and I think that's great to see. You need some of that personality, and he fits that obsessed mold that the Bears are looking for in these young guys. Just in general, in terms of talking to this draft class, I'm impressed by every single one of them. I know Roquan Smith is not here. Who knows when he'll get here, by the way, but in terms of the way they carry themselves and their intelligence level and the want to, you can kind of feel it from some of these guys. You get it from a Kylie Fitz. You get it from a James Daniels.
Yeah, James Daniels. I talked to both those guys yesterday. James Daniels, like, he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk technique with you. He wants to have a football conversation with you. So he's been good to talk to as well. All right, one of the other questions I have on my list for the season is, can Leonard Floyd become that elite pass rusher he's supposed to be? And, you know, I wrote in my 10 Bears things a few weeks ago that it's go time for Floyd. I think we all agree on that. Floyd talked to the media today, and not that necessarily matters, but what have you seen from him so far?
I don't know if I've seen much, to be honest.
I agree, but not necessarily in a bad way. Just
Yeah.
He hasn't popped.
Taylor Gabriel beat him in coverage today. That's a thing, I guess.
So when that happened, and Yeah, Floyd got matched up against Taylor Gabriel, which that's not really a fair matchup for Leonard Floyd.
No, but it's going to happen every now and then.
But he got turned around, and I chose to look at that play as this is what the offense is trying to create.
Yep.
This is what Matt Nagy is trying to create mismatches on every play and have his quarterback identify the mismatch and take advantage of it. I chose to look at that play as much more of a positive for the offense.
That's a good point.
Than necessarily, oh, Leonard Floyd got beat in a matchup.
No. I wrote it down as he was wide open. Taylor Gabriel was wide open. Then he played to the fans a little bit and gave a little dance out there. No, that's not on Floyd. That's a mismatch from the get-go. Look, maybe he can handle one a flat, but once he turns upfield,
I mean,
he's not keeping
it better. But he's not
keeping up with Turbo, especially with a double move like that. But that's just, you're right. It goes back to the creativity of Matt Nagy. And if you don't have the right personnel on the field, he's going to find that mismatch. He's going to move guys all over the place. There's always seems to be a guy in motion, literally like 75% of the time. They're trying to find out what coverage you're in to tip your hand with movements and whatnot. So, but I guess I haven't seen, it's tough when they're not able to hit the quarterback. You know, defensive players are a mismatch just in general because of the positions they play.
It's also tough, and not to, you know, be media complain guy, but I haven't been able to watch one-on-one drills much between the offensive and defensive line. It's been really frustrating. That's usually where one of the valuable parts of camp so far is being able to get a close look at those one-on-one drills and see how they're faring against, you know, how Leonard Floyd's doing against Charles Leno Jr. And just, we're not allowed on the sidelines anymore, for those that aren't aware. And from our vantage point, that's part of the reason why it's hard to answer this question so far, and I think we're just going to have to wait for the games.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you still have high hopes? I don't think my expectations for Floyd have changed over these 7 days of practices. If there's one outside linebacker who stood out more than any other, it's Kylie Fitz, and he's really worked his way up the depth chart already as a sixth-round pick. He has stood out, especially against the twos.
Although he missed practice today.
Yeah, with an arm injury. We don't know quite which arm, but it doesn't seem major. He was out there doing some stuff off to the side. But he's been, in terms of a position that's so thin, that to see him come to just produce or look like he can't produce, that's quite the positive revelation I think the Bears need and want, because they need all the help they can get at outside linebacker.
Another big question this season is how healthy Kyle Long will be. What do you make of his practice schedule so far? Because he has yet to go in two practices
yeah,
in a row.
Yeah, it's on one day off the other. He's coming off. I don't mind it.
I don't either.
I really don't mind it because I get it. Three off-season surgeries, and, of course, his ankle is completely mangled. People forget about that one when they list the injuries. I don't know if he is ever going to be quite the same because of that injury, and there could be a positive there. Maybe it makes him be more fundamentally sound, sort of this big, bullish, you know, extremely athletic, you know, big guy. So maybe he focuses more on his fundamentals. That's a positive way of looking at it. But I do not mind this on one day off the next. You need to get him into the regular season healthy. We know what we can do. We do. He could be a Pro Bowl guard, I think, for the Bears again. I still see some of that athleticism. Take it easy with Kyle.
Well, and I also look back at last year's camp, and he rushed it back too soon.
With the ankle.
Yeah. Not necessarily he did it, but whoever it was, him, the team, whoever's decision it was, came back a little bit too, and maybe coming back too soon is not the right way to put it, but came back too hard. You know, really pushed it.
That's a good way to put it.
Remember that practice we saw, the frustration kind of boil with him?
Oh, he's throwing punches at his best friend, Jonas Christou.
Yeah, things got a little out of hand, and you could just tell he wasn't right, both mentally and physically. So I'm okay with this. I mean, he's still getting practice time. Again, with all these guys, they have an extra week to work with. It's not like he's standing on the sideline every day. He is practicing, and he seems to be pretty much full go when he's out there, the days that he's out there. Then take a rest day. They know what he is. They got to keep him healthy, and they got to make sure he's good to go 100% when the season starts.
Yeah, I get you want to get his body conditioned or calloused, as Matt Nagy says so often, but look, he said a long time ago, in terms of sure things, Kyle Long is all but one a few of them because of what he's proven. He was a Pro Bowler his first three seasons. One of those was at right tackle. Now you can argue against that, but that's just the type of reputation he garnered over his first couple of years. So be patient. Fans should be patient with him, even though you see him on the sidelines. This is camp. It's Bourbon A. It's not even August yet. Not even August yet, Adam. So get him to the regular season as healthy as you can and do not overdo him. That's a great observation compared to last year where they rushed him out there and then really kind of pushed him. It tested him almost too much. And you saw his temper and his frustrations boil over against some of his best friends on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that served as kind of a learning experience for not only him, but the organization,
yeah,
too.
Now you get a different training staff,
right?
A different people looking at him every single day, so they have different philosophies, and who knows if it's going to be the right one. But if you get the Kyle Long to the regular season happy and in shape and as good as he can feel, I think they're doing the right thing.
How about Allen Robinson? Because we've also seen him take a day off, but he's been practicing more than Kyle Long, coming off the ACL. He's made some big plays here and there. He had a really nice catch and double coverage in the end zone today and some of that red zone work. But maybe like Leonard Floyd, sometimes it's just like the amount of time involved in a play. It's not necessarily fair to evaluate just based on that.
He had a really nice diving catch kind of out of the end zone where he tried to get his feet down. I think he only got one. Maybe he got two on review. He was confident about it. But, look, that's going to take time. I know he kind of shrugged off the connection question about Mitch Trubisky last time we talked about Allen Robinson. Last time we talked with Allen Robinson. Maybe it's just his soft-spoken demeanor. Maybe he doesn't want to put too much into it at this point, especially since live contact is sparse right now, or scarce, however you want to describe it. I'm not worried about Allen Robinson. I think he holds himself pretty professionally. I think he is a lot different than some of these diva receivers. He is not a diva receiver by any means. He doesn't need the attention. I like what he said the other day in terms of goals for him this year, because you know all these guys are numbers guys. Wins. That's all he said. Wins. That's why I signed here. Wins. He talked about the defense even. I'm here for wins.
Overall, I'm encouraged with his wide receiver class. Obviously, it was a huge focus of the offseason, but I like what I've seen so far. I like what I've seen from Taylor Gabriel. I like what I've seen from Allen Robinson. Certainly like what I see from Anthony Miller. Even Benny Fowler has made some plays here and there. Even Tanner Gentry, you know, we haven't talked about him a whole lot. I think he's got a really uphill battle to make this roster.
He's had a good camp, but he's still making those acrobatic catches.
He's still making those plays. And Kevin White, I'm worried about.
It's so hit or miss. Long touchdown grab, great pass from Mitch Trubisky. A few plays later, drops a pass right at the 2-yard line, wide open.
So, a short one.
Yes, a short one, an easy one. Right in his chest, is as far as I remember recalling it. So it's, that's why you signed Taylor Gabriel. That's why you drafted Anthony Miller. That's why you gave Allen Robinson the big money, like you said. Mm-hmm. Kevin White's just gravy this year, my friend.
Yeah, so we'll have to, that'll be a story that we continue to monitor the rest of camp, because I do think it's noteworthy that he doesn't really do anything on special teams for you, and you don't really want him out there on special teams anyway because it just increases the risks of getting hurt.
Right.
So if he's not good enough to crack your top four, it's just, I don't know, we're only a week into this thing. It's just something to continue to monitor because it creates an interesting situation come late August, first week of September.
I get why you would want to keep a guy in that roster, and part of it has to do is because you spend a first-round pick on him. You need some of that spot, that size and that speed combination. But I don't know if we see that size and speed combination enough. I really don't.
Let's put it this way. I think these five preseason games are going to be pretty important for him.
Play him every game.
I would.
Every game.
I would.
As many snaps as you want with the first and second team.
He's got to prove himself. He's got to prove himself. All right, anything else?
No. We got the Kylie Fitz. Roquan Smith, I guess we'll get there. When we get there, I think Nikolkowski, we talked about this in the last podcast, and people were kind of didn't like my criticism of Trevathan. I think Nikolkowski's putting together quite the under-the-radar solid training camp this year.
Yeah, you like yourself some Kwiatkowski, no question.
He's been solid.
He's been not exceptional, but he's been pretty good.
Yeah, don't overlook him.
No, I like him too, as long as he's... Again, another guy who's been battling some injuries, if he can stay healthy. Pretty decent player. Still no sign of Danny Trevathan in practice. Aaron Lynch. Man, that guy's hurt a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. That's all we've seen from him so far. Yeah, Roquan.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have anything else to say about Roquan?
Nothing.
That's why we didn't leave with it. Nothing has really developed other than we did see a bunch of guys ahead of him since our last podcast actually get signed.
Signed, yes. So it's him and Sam Darnold, I believe. That's it.
So do you think it's as simple as Darnold gets signed than Roquan does?
No.
Or is there something else going on? Are we starting to get into Joey Bosa territory?
Yeah. Ooh, that's not good. I do think the agents have put their foot down on something, and we'll see if the Bears call their bluff. So we have the 8th and 9th practices, or 8th practice tomorrow, then they return on Monday. I don't think he plays in the Hall of Fame game. I don't think you can.
I don't think you can
play him because he hasn't been practicing.
He hasn't been practicing.
You can't reward him with that.
I mean, Nagy did point out yesterday that he does have his playbook and he's able to continue to work on knowing the plays so that he gets out there, he knows what's going on, but you still got to practice it. And he hasn't been doing that at all.
Those are Nagy's most pointed comments, I think, in terms of there's no replicating the live reps that you get here.
And he hasn't had pads on since he got drafted.
Yes. Oh.
In an NFL practice.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to throw him in an NFL game next Thursday? I think the Hall of Fame game, we're getting pretty close to just ruling that out.
I think they're already there. I don't think they're going to come out and say it.
Now, the good news is you still have 4, and that's the normal amount you'd normally get. But when does 1 turn into 2 and so on and so forth?
Yes, Dave wants that. You know, this could all change by our next podcast. You know, he could be here by all accounts right now. He could be here signing before we know it. But Dave Wanstead had some very strong comments calling the whole situation selfish in terms of Roquan Smith and particularly his agents from CAA in terms of putting their foot down. And then he referenced this Curtis Enos situation and how he wasn't in shape come the regular season. So obviously Dave Wanstead speaks from experience. He's part of that generation where holdouts were commonplace.
Actually, I think we have that audio. So let's hear what Wani had to say about this, because it was very interesting.
Well, it's an effect for both. I mean, you know, it affects both, and it really doesn't make much sense. I mean, you know, it's the way everybody's slotted now, and you guys all know the story. I mean, for a rookie to hold on because of some of the fine print, it's pretty selfish, I think, you know, from an agent standpoint to do that. I mean, this kid needs to be here. He needs to be practicing. These are valuable days. They play a preseason game a week from now. And you do not get these days back. You know, and you would like to think that an agent would be smart enough to understand that. At some point, the player, though, has got to understand that this guy works for me. You know what I mean? I'm not working for the agent. And then you got to stand up and say, hey, the contract's fair. I need to get in practice and help this football team.
Will a kid that good, though, acclimate quicker in a defense that's already kind of established? Is that any kind of factor?
He still has his individual learning, you know what I mean? And physically, I'm sure he's running and doing that stuff. But there's no substitute for what they're doing right now. For having the pads on, you know what I mean, and going through full-speed drills with pads on, you can talk all you want about shorts, and I'm doing it at a high school or at a college to get ready. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Your point of reference is Enos for holdouts in 98.
Yeah.
How damaging was that? That was your last year.
Well,
how damaging was that?
I'll tell you how damaging it was. If he would have been here in training camp, his conditioning, and he was sick. We played we opened up the season. I'm going to take you back in history. We opened up the season at home against Jacksonville. Remember that? And we caught, checked the temperature. I think it was 90 degrees that day. And we were down on the goal line. And we had Edgar Bennett was our running back. Bam Morris had just got back playing again. And Enos was our running back. And I remember him coming out of the game because he was exhausted. And we couldn't use him at the end when we were down on the goal line. And in my mind, the first thing I thought of, if he was with us from day one in training camp, his whole physical conditioning would have been different, and we could have closed that game out. And we ended up losing in last minute in the game.
So there's the other side of it. You always, you know, there's two sides of this. Some people go after the player. He was a coach, so I guess it's not surprising.
He's a team guy.
Yeah, he goes with the team, and then, you know, these are the battles.
And we should say we do understand the agent side and the player side of this thing. But when it starts to drag out, you start wondering what the benefits actually are in terms of public perception and not getting actual practice time
right.
in.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back Tuesday with a new episode, and then the live episode next Saturday. Should be a lot
of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Come say hi.
So again,
don't just tweet us. Come say hi.
Right, it's free. You come out to practice. You do have to register for a free ticket.
Yes.
I think they make it pretty easy to do.
Oh, it's easy.
When you come out here to Bourbonnais, but it's free. It doesn't cost any money, and it's not like they sell out. There's plenty of room at practice, and we'll be... I don't know how to explain it. We'll give you more details on Tuesday, but as you're walking into training camp, there's some tents set up. You'll see us in one of those tents, and we'll do the deal after practice. Should be a lot of fun.
Let's do it. It'll be fun, yeah.
So, again, a live edition of Hogan John's next Saturday from Bourbonnais. All right, that's going to do it for us here on episode 162 of the podcast. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us, WGNradio.com/Bears. I got a new 10 Bears Things column up. Adam Johnson stuff every single day, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And please rate, review the podcast. Tell your friends all about it. We appreciate you doing that. All right, we will talk to you after the weekend.